Pole to Pole, written and read by Michael Palin. Day 1, the North Pole. It's 3:45 on a Saturday afternoon, and I'm 17 miles from the North Pole. Somewhere, a long way away, people are doing sensible things like watching cricket, or digging gardens, or pushing prams, or visiting their mothers-in-law. I'm squeezed tight into a small, noisy aeroplane descending through stale grey cloud towards an enormous expanse of cracked and drifting ice. With me are Nigel Meakin and his camera, Fraser Barber and his tape recorder, and Roger Mills and his pipe. Along with our two pilots, Russ Bombury and Dan Parnham, we are the only human beings within 500 miles. Outside my window, one of our two propeller-driven engines slowly eats away at a fuel supply which must last us another 6 hours at least. In little more than 10 minutes, our pilot will have to fashion a landing strip out of nothing more than a piece of ice, strong enough to withstand the impact of 12,500 pounds at 80 miles an hour. Below the ice, the sea is 14,000 feet deep. I'm sure I'm not the only one of us looking down on this desolate wilderness who hasn't wished for an impure moment that the North Pole, rather than being in the middle of an ocean, was solid, well marked, and even supplied with a hut and a coffee machine. But the cracked and fissured ice pack offers no comfortable reassurance. The Arctic Ocean, known to the